Lesson 5. The Means and Meaning of Justification. Defining Saving Faith. What does the believer believe? 1. He believes that he can do nothing to justify himself. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. He realizes that nothing he can do, works, will make him deserve to be saved, even partially. 2. He believes that the sacrifice of Christ is sufficient for his forgiveness. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. Propitiation means the sacrifice that makes our forgiveness possible. 3. He believes that God forgives him on the condition of faith alone. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. If he thinks there are other conditions, he expects to be saved partly by works instead of completely by grace. Passage Study, Romans Part 3. Part 3 has three passages. The first, 3:21-31, shows that man must be justified by a way that God devises, since man cannot be justified on the basis of what he has done. The second passage, Romans 4, uses Abraham and David as illustrations of justifying faith, showing that the doctrine is not new. The third passage, Romans 5, explains how Christ's sacrifice makes this kind of justification possible. In this lesson, we will study all three of these passages. Main point of 3:21-5:21. God's provision for man's salvation is the sacrifice of Christ, which provides justification by grace through faith. Passage Study, Romans Part 3, Passage 1. Main point of 3:21-31. God's means of justification is by grace through faith, and justification by works is impossible. Summary of 3:21-31. Since nobody is righteous on the basis of having always kept all the law, some other means of justification must be found. The dilemma, presented in 3:26, is for God to justify the sinner and yet be a righteous judge. The dilemma is solved by the atonement. God provided a sacrifice as the basis for forgiveness. He can forgive the one who believes, but the sacrifice shows that God considered sin serious. Before continuing the lesson, read Romans 3:21-31. Notes verse by verse. 3:21. The righteousness that is acceptable to God is accomplished apart from the law. The apostle says that this idea is not new, but was taught by the law and prophets. But now refers to the time of the full revelation of the gospel in Christ, as the next verse says. See also 3:25. 3:22-23. There is no difference between the way Jews and Gentiles are saved, since they are equally condemned. Even in ancient Israel, when they followed the rituals God gave them, nobody was ever saved by the sacrifices and rituals. Anyone who was saved by receiving grace by faith. See 3:30. Salvation for anyone is by faith. The term all is used several times here. Just as all have sinned, all who believe may be saved. The phrase, for all who believe, is an emphasis of the openness of the offer, just as the phrase, from faith for faith, emphasizes the condition of faith. 1:17. 3:24. Grace is free for us because Jesus paid the price of redemption. 3:25. The former sins are the sins committed before the coming of Christ. They were not atoned for by ceremonial observance, but by the death of Christ, even though when the sins were committed, his death was still in the future. God forgave them on the basis of Christ's atonement before it happened, because it was planned from the beginning. See 3:21. The atonement showed that God was righteous even though his justice was not immediate. It showed that God takes sin seriously. 3:26. This verse shows the resolution of the great dilemma. How can God be just and yet justify a sinner? The atonement provided the way. God provided a sacrifice as the basis for forgiveness. He can forgive the one who believes, but the sacrifice shows that God considered sin serious. God is the righteous judge of the universe. He has declared that sin is so serious that it has an eternal penalty. People are separated from God because of sin. God is responsible for ultimate justice for the universe, the reward of people who do good and punishment for those who do wrong. Forgiveness without a basis would conflict with the very identity of God. It would dishonor him by making him appear inconsistent in his response to sin. He would seem unjust if he punished some people and forgave others. This is not a small problem, because the whole universe exists to glorify God. How can people sincerely glorify God if they do not think he is just? The solution had to be something that showed sin to be serious, provided a reason for forgiveness, and demonstrated God's nature, so that people could continue to honor God as holy and just. The atonement fits that need. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross showed that sin is serious. The necessity of repentance makes the sinner acknowledge the evil of his sin. The free offer of salvation for all makes the choice individual, so that it is fair for God to forgive the ones who accept it and not forgive the ones who reject it. Why does he not forgive those who do not repent? To forgive someone who continues in sin without repentance would defeat the purpose of the atonement, to provide forgiveness while showing the justice of God. 3:27. There is no basis for self-commendation for having achieved salvation. There have been some people that believed a person is proud if he claims to know that he is saved. But a person who knows that he is forgiven because of grace has reason to be humble, not proud. 3:28. Justification does not depend on previous righteousness. Justification means that the sinner who repents and believes is counted righteous, as if he had not sinned. A life of obedience to God begins at justification, and not before. A person cannot change his own life with the purpose of making himself acceptable to God. He is already acceptable to God through the atonement of Christ, and no other way. 3:29-30. These verses connect the passage to the theme of the book. The message is for the whole world. This universal application of the gospel is based on monotheism. Because there is only one God, his purposes apply to all humanity, unlike a local God who might be interested only in one nation or clan. God always intended that Israel share the knowledge of God with the Gentiles. Isaiah 42:6, Isaiah 43:21, Isaiah 49:6. 3:31. When someone repents of his sin and begins to live in obedience, he is upholding the law as the standard of righteousness. Any theory of the atonement and justification that makes the law irrelevant for the Christian is not consistent with this verse. Note, John Wesley's two sermons entitled The Law Established by Faith explain these concepts well. See the recommended reading section at the end of this course. If a person asks for forgiveness but does not intend to begin obeying God, it shows that he does not understand the evil of sin and the real reason he needs forgiveness. He is trying to receive the benefits of salvation by merely pretending to respect the law. Passage study, Romans part 3, passage 2. Main point of chapter 4. Abraham, the one who was selected by God to be the father of the people of God, was justified by faith. Summary of chapter 4. The doctrine of justification by grace through faith is established in the Old Testament. Abraham, the one who was selected by God to be the father of the people of God, was justified by faith. King David also understood justification by grace. Circumcision was not the means of salvation, but was given later as a sign of faith that Abraham already had. Abraham became the father and example of all those who would later be saved by faith. Before continuing the lesson, read Romans 4. Notes, verse by verse. 4:1. Abraham was the biological father of the Jews. The question is, exactly what did Abraham receive? This question will be answered in order to answer the questions, who can inherit it, and how can we inherit it? 4:2. A theory of salvation by works naturally leads to pride. 4:3. Abraham did not know the whole plan of salvation, and therefore could not put his faith in the atonement of Christ. However, he believed God's promise as far as it was revealed. The part of the promise mentioned in this chapter is that Abraham would be the father of many nations, 4:17-18. But the rest of the promise was that all people of the earth would be blessed through his descendants, Genesis 12:2-3, Genesis 22:17-18. The promise was repeated to Jacob, Genesis 28:14. Through Abraham's descendants, the favour of God would be offered to all people of the earth. This was God's promise of grace to Abraham. It was a promise of grace offered to all. Abraham was justified because he believed God's promise of grace. His justification was the same as ours, though our faith has more content. 4:4. If a person is working for his salvation, salvation is not a gift. Instead, he owes an account that he is trying to pay off. See Romans 11:6. 4:5. The one who does not work is not a person who does not care about obeying God, but a person who is not working as a means of being saved. Instead of depending on his works to gain him entrance into heaven, he believes God's promise to save him. 4:6-8. David also referred to justification by faith when he described an acceptance by God that depends on forgiveness of sins. God will not impute guilt for past sin to the believer. The Apostle Paul is showing that the doctrine of justification by grace through faith is not a new idea. Even King David understood it. How do we know this refers to past sin and not continued sin? Romans 6:2 says that since we are dead to sin, therefore we do not live any longer in it. The whole message of Romans 6 refutes the idea that we can live in sin while being justified by faith. See also Romans 5:6-8. While we were still weak, and while we were still sinners, which imply that we now have strength and are not sinners as before, we are justified and changed. 4:9. This question introduces the topic of how a person can get into this position of being justified by faith. Does this blessing come only to people who are circumcised? 4:10-12. Abraham was not circumcised when he received grace. Circumcision came later. Therefore, it is possible for an uncircumcised person to receive grace by faith. Abraham is the spiritual father of those who follow his example, walk in the footsteps of faith, even if they are not circumcised. The people who have saving faith are the spiritual children of Abraham. Israelites are not his spiritual children unless they believe, even though they are descended from him biologically. 4:13-14. Who inherits Abraham's blessing? If it is those who keep the law, then it is not by faith in the promise. 4:15. The law is the means of judgment, for it reveals sin. It is not the means of receiving grace. If there were no law, there would be no violations of it. Paul is not talking specifically about the law from Moses, but about God's requirements for humanity in general. There is no place where God's requirements are completely unknown. 1:20. 4:16-17. Abraham had many biological descendants who formed different nations. However, here the apostle says that Abraham was the father of many, because he is the father of all who have faith. Salvation is received by faith so that it can be given by grace. If any actions were required to qualify the recipient, it would not be completely by grace. Because it is by grace, it must be received by faith only. A person who tries to earn it does not understand salvation. 4:18-19. Abraham believed God even when there was nothing in his circumstances to give him hope. His body was the same as dead regarding his ability to father a child. Sarah was also past the time when she was physically able to bear a child, but true faith does not depend on circumstances. This faith is opposite to confidence in works. This explains why Ishmael, the son of Hagar, is a type of salvation by works, Galatians 4:22-31. The birth of Ishmael was physically accomplished, instead of by faith. Salvation is by promise, then faith, then miracle. 4:20-21. God is glorified more by man's trust than by man's ability. 4:22. See the notes on verse 3. 4:23-25. Abraham's faith is an example for us. He did not know the whole plan of salvation, but believed the part that was revealed to him. We must believe the revealed details of the plan of salvation which Abraham did not know, the death and resurrection of Christ. These verses show that we receive the same justification that Abraham received, because it says that righteousness was attributed to him and will be attributed to us on the same basis. Passage study, Romans part 3, passage 3. Main point of chapter 5. Christ in his death and resurrection reversed the results of sin, bringing reconciliation, righteousness, and life. Summary of chapter 5. Now that we are justified by faith, we are reconciled to God through Christ. 5:1. The phrase "through our Lord Jesus Christ" introduces the topic of the chapter, the effectiveness of the atoning work of Christ. Adam's sin brought the world under sin and death, and every person after him has committed sin. Christ's atonement reversed the effects of sin. Before continuing the lesson, read Romans 5. Notes verse by verse. 5:1-2. A. This verse connects the previous section to this section. The subject of the chapter is the effectiveness of the work of Christ. Peace refers to reconciliation with God, the enmity being removed and wrath being turned away. Jesus said that he is the door, John 10:9. This verse says something similar, because by him we have access to enter grace by faith. He is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. 5:2b5. These verses describe the believer's experience as he lives in grace. Paul said that our rejoicing is because of hope that we will experience the glory of God. He said that we can rejoice even in tribulations. The Christian can enjoy and endure the little things, circumstances of life, because the big things are secure. The unbeliever tries to take joy from the things of life, but things are never good enough to satisfy. They pass quickly. Life's conditions are not too bad if life is a journey, but life's conditions seem miserable if there is nothing else. Faithful endurance of tribulation accomplishes a process for the believer. See also James 1:2-4. As we endure tribulation by faith, we develop patience. Patience is not just willingness to wait. It is the ability to endure by faith. As we exercise this patient faith, we continue to experience and observe the work of God that gives us hope. We know that God's purposes are being accomplished, even when circumstances seem bad. We know that our hope will not be disappointed, because we already experience the love of God in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1:13-14, Paul said that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee that God will fulfill everything else he has promised. The Spirit is like the deposit for a contract. 5:6-10 emphasizes that at the time of our justification we did not deserve it and could do nothing to accomplish it. We were without strength, still sinners, and enemies. 5:6. To be weak means to be unable to save ourselves, especially by fulfilling the requirements of the law. We were powerless to fulfill God's requirements or deliver ourselves from sin. 5:7-8. It is rare that someone would die even for a good man, but Christ died for us while we were sinners. 5:9-10. Christ lives as our mediator and advocate. Paul reasons that if God were ready to forgive when we were sinners, then we can be confident even more of his favor now that we are justified in Christ. We were reconciled by his death for us and continue to be acceptable to God by being connected to the living Christ. The following section is important for 5:12-19. Are we guilty of Adam's sin? Romans 5:12-19 says that all humankind was brought under sin and death because of Adam's sin. Are we personally guilty of Adam's sin? Will sinners be punished for Adam's sin? Paul did not say that sinners will be punished for Adam's sin. In 5:12, he said that death passed upon all men because all have sinned. Every person is individually guilty of his own sin. Romans 1-2 already emphasized that people need justification because they are sinners who have broken God's law. People are not condemned for the condition they are born in, but for their choice to sin. The judgment is according to works. Revelation 20:12, Romans 2:6-16, 2 Corinthians 5:10. However, by Adam's sin entered into the world, as the father of all humanity, which was yet unborn, he separated humankind from God. All people afterward would be born already separated from God, and therefore, depraved. Because of Adam's sin, all people are born with a tendency toward sin, and all of them have followed it by committing acts of sin. The following statements can be interpreted with that understanding. Many died through one man's trespass, 5:15. Judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, 5:16. Because of one man's trespass, death reigned, 5:17. One trespass led to condemnation for all men, 5:18. By the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, 5:19. Paul did not say that we are guilty of Adam's sin, but that Adam brought in sin and everyone followed. Sinners need to be forgiven of their many trespasses, 5:16, not of Adam's sin. Passage study, Romans part 3, passage 3. Notes, verse by verse continued. 5:12. The reason death spread to all men is not that Adam's guilt was imputed to them, but that all sinned. Adam was the one who brought sin into the world and brought its influence over his descendants. 5:13-14. Sin is not revealed and clearly condemned without the law. However, even up until Moses received the law, death ruled. People knew that they were guilty of sin, even without the clarity the law provides, C 120. The real extent of sin is shown by the law. Sin, like Adam's sin, refers to deliberate disobedience of a revealed law. Those without any revelation did not have a choice that clear, yet they still did not fully follow their consciences, 121. 5:15. The act of Adam brought death to many, and the work of Christ brought life to many. The term many refers to everyone in general. The emphasis is that Christ's atonement was farther reaching in its effects than Adam's sin. This verse says that just as the sin of Adam caused everyone to become sinners, the atonement of Christ offers grace to everyone. God offers grace to every person who was made a sinner by Adam's fall. 5:16. The original sin was one act, but grace is now needed for many sins. The grace must be far greater than the original sin. 5:17-19. Many were made sinners because of the effects of Adam's sin. They will be made righteous by Christ. The implication is that they are transformed. 5:20. The law multiplies sin in the sense that it makes a long list of offences where before only a few sins were recognised. It also increases sin in the sense that after a person knows the law and chooses to reject it, he becomes a worse sinner than before. This is the condition described in 7:5-24. But grace is multiplied beyond all sin. Amazing grace. John Newton had a Christian mother but became a sailor and ship's captain who went into deep sin. He suffered hard circumstances in his life. He was betrayed by friends and, for a period of time, became a slave. When his situation improved, he continued in sin and helped to destroy the lives of many by slave trading. He was captain of a slave ship for years. He was once shipwrecked and stranded on an island, but was rescued by a captain who had been a friend of his father. He felt that God had been merciful to him, even though he had been wicked. Later, the ship was in a severe storm, and he called to God for mercy. The ship survived the storm, and Newton continued to depend on God for mercy. He eventually left the sea and became a pastor. One of the hymns he wrote is the most sung and most recorded hymn ever written. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. In his testimony, Newton said, God has mercifully brought me up out of the deep, miry clay and set my feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. He has saved my soul. And now, It is my heart's desire to extol and honour his matchless, free, sovereign and distinguishing grace because, by the grace of God I am what I am, 1 Corinthians 15:10. It is my heart's great joy to ascribe my salvation entirely to the grace of God. Source: John Newton's Conversion from banneroftruth.org. Lesson 5. Review Questions. 1. What does a person believe who has saving faith? 2. What is the dilemma solved by the atonement? 3. How did the atonement solve the dilemma? 4. What does justification mean? 5. How does someone uphold the law as the standard of righteousness? Romans 3:31. 6. What was God's promise of grace to Abraham? 7. What did David say about justification by faith? 8. Who are the spiritual children of Abraham? 9. How do we know from Romans 5:15 that salvation is offered to everyone?